Good morning. Our first song today will be number 54. 54.
Bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for our health, for the ability to rise from our beds this morning, and to come here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, that while it feels like there are so many forces trying to bring us apart, separate us, isolate us, that we're able to convene here as your body to do your will. We pray, Lord, that you be with us throughout this service, Lord, that you be with all the leaders of the church, you guide them, support them in all the ways that they need it so that we may do your work, that you be with the preacher and you guide him, speak to him and through him with his sermon today so that it may pierce our hearts and we may be able to leave from here and be able to carry out your will for our lives. We pray, Lord, for those who are mentioned, who are sick, who are dealing with challenges, difficult times, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Pray, Lord, that you wrap your arms around them at this time, that you be a source of strength and comfort to them in all the ways that only you can, and that you be with us to help us to surround them in other ways as well, to support your will. Pray, Lord, that you be with us throughout this service, that you forgive us of our sins today, and that you help us to carry out this day in a way that it be pleasing in thy sight. And it's in your wonderful and precious Son, Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 300. 300. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but
we're gathered this morning to remember that great sacrifice by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of the bread that we're about to partake. Dear Father, as we take this bread this morning, help us to take our minds back to the cross where our Savior sacrificed his life, defeated death, and made it possible for us, dear Father, to have the forgiveness of sins. We pray, dear Father, as we take of this bread, which is symbolic of his body, that we'll all be focused upon that cross, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. Kind Father in heaven, we just want you to know this morning that it is an honorary privilege to have the opportunity to partake of this cup. It represents the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross for many for the remission of our sins. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
It's our desire to serve every Christian who would like to take of the cup. So if any of you have been overlooked, please raise a hand. I see no hands. Another part of worship to God is given as we have prospered. Let's go to God in prayer and thanks for this opportunity. Dear Father, as we gather again this day, we're mindful of this great creation that you have given us. For all the beauty that surrounds us, for all of the great things that you have done for us from our very beginning to this moment in time. Pray, dear Father, that each of us will examine our hearts and that we'll give willingly back to you a part of that which we've received so that the work of the church may go on. We ask this, that our prayer be accepted in Jesus' name. Amen.
song of invitation this morning after the lesson will be number 925. 925, let us mark that. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 84. 84. Those that can't stand, let us stand. Dread not the things that are ahead. The burden's great, the sinking sand. The thorns that o'er the path are spread. God holds the future in His hand. God holds the future in His hand. And every heart He understands. He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand. Live close to Him and trust His love. Assured that while on earth we roam, whatever may come, He bends above to God, His children safely home. God holds His future in His hand, and every heart He understands. On Him depend, He is your friend. He holds the future in God holds the future in His hand, and every heart He understands. On Him depend, He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand.
Let's be seated. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Acts. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts 9, 1 through 6, and I have the New King James translation. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Brother Norm.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's woke us up this morning, and He started us on our way. We have so much to be thankful for. It's just good to see you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. That song we just got through singing must be a popular song. And that's a true song, that God does hold the future in his hand. And so what we need to do is stay close to him, and we need to trust him. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us once again, that we may assemble ourselves together this morning. Lord, we just ask you to just continue to be with us, continue to be with this congregation. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the thing that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I just want to raise a question. Has God got your attention? And this lesson is not only for us to think about. It's not just for those who are here, but for those who will be listening on our website, because this is important. It's an important question that you and I need to consider this morning. Many people are coming to realize that God is still in control. Man can't help us in this time, because they're trying to figure out themselves. But only the grace and the mercy of God is who we need to rely on. We're going through a time we have never seen before. We have seen how God has stopped everything dead in his tracks. This pandemic should have gotten our attention. It should have made us more closer to Jesus. But many are not taking this pandemic serious. Even though 218,000 have lost their lives, we have gotten out of hand on many fronts. Hatred, racism. We don't treat each other right. We don't love each other like we should. We don't respect one another. We are taking his precious days, his precious hours, and failing to give back what's due to him. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it still comes into play that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need to get real this morning. We need to stop fighting one another, hating on each other, holding grudges and bitterness in our hearts, because time is so short. And so we need to understand that how precious each day really is. God is trying to get our attention. But the question is, has he got your attention yet? Many of us have forgotten where we come from. We've forgotten what God has brought us through, how God has kept us on this side time of life, forgotten how you were faithful to God, close to God when you didn't have much. But then God started blessing you with a job, money and material. Now we are serving God less. You don't need God like you used to. During times of hurt, during times of pain, during times of despair, when something goes wrong and men are face to face with death, now you want the Lord. Now you want the prayers of the church. It never ceases to amaze me that when life get easy, faithfulness get harder. Life get easy. And oftentimes that's when we find ourselves being tempted the most. When life get easy, that's when Christians get lazy. You remember March 29th, 2020, that we were not able to get up on Sunday morning for Bible class and Sunday morning worship and Sunday night and Wednesday night to come to this building. And now we are wishing for those days when God decides to heal our land, when we can be able to assemble more. The question will be, will you be here? Will you go back and do the same old thing you were doing? What will you going to learn from this lesson this morning? It's a wake-up call. It's time to realize God is trying to get our attention. When we look in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, we find Saul's mission was to go to Damascus and slay as many of the Lord's disciples that he could find there, and anyone he would meet along the way there. But up until this journey, Saul's main purpose in life was the persecution of Christians. But that was not the only time. In Acts chapter 7, Paul had given the approval of the stoning of Stephen, another follower of Jesus Christ. Paul was doing his own thing, and he was going his own way and in the name of God. And Paul was doing some dirt, but let's not get too hard on Paul, because we need to look at our lives before God got our attention. What did your life look like before God got your attention? Or may I ask you, have he got your attention yet? Because if you're still living and doing the same thing, he has not gotten your attention. But the good thing this morning about verse number 1 and verse number 2, when you read that there is a verse number 3. When you look at verse number 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed a shine around him. And the Lord asked Saul in verse 4, he said, why persecutest thou me? In verse number 5, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. You see, Jesus tells Saul that he's been trying to point him in the right direction. He has been speaking to Saul. He has been poking him with a sharp stick, but Saul has been fighting it. He's been rebelling against it. He's been kicking it. And not only that, blinding him for 3 days. Then in verse number 6, and he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, then he says unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul is walking through life. He's doing his own thing, and God got his attention. Sometimes it takes a Damascus Road experience to knock us on the ground and put temporary limits on us. Sometimes God has to knock us off our feet so we can stop, look up, and see Jesus. And God still haven't got some of our attention yet. So the question comes this morning, is that why does God want to get our attention? Number one, because he wants us to know him. In verse number 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" God doesn't want to get our attention just to get it. He wants to draw us to himself. He wants us to know him. God wants to have a relationship with all of us. He wants to be number one person we come to when we run into problems, when we are scared, and when we need somebody to talk to. God gives us the tools to that we need to reach out to him and to create that dialogue. But however, sometimes we choose to turn to other options before we turn to God. Secondly, God gets our attention to humble us so that we'll be going in the direction God wants us to go in. That's in verse number 6. See, God humbles us to get our full attention as believers in Christ. If God wouldn't have humbled him, he would have been on his way persecuting and harming other Christians. Instead, he had come a Christian himself, and now he's on his way with instructions that he has received from the Lord. Have you ever thought about where you would be if the Lord didn't use humbling circumstances to not only get our attention, but to keep our attention? You were going your own way. You were making your own decisions, but God stuck a fork in your road. He let experience and some pain and some downfall to keep your attention. God didn't keep pressure on us through adversity. Will we be drawn closer to him and the purpose he has for our life? Or would we drift away from him? Sometimes we become complacent in our Christian growth. And I hope those who are here and those who will be tuning in on our website that we haven't become comfortable and complacent and using this pandemic as an excuse to stay home, and not using the excuse to go everywhere that we want to go. God knows your situation. God knows your condition. And he knows your thoughts. But listen to me. God will allow adversity to come in our lives to move us forward in our walk with him. Cause us to grow and let us know you still need to depend on him. How we respond to the trials will either make us or it'll break us. But then thirdly, the third thing that I see, that I suggest to you, is God wants you to be saved. When you look at Acts chapter 9 and verse number 18, And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scaled, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. There are many people in congregations, and maybe in our congregation, who are not saved, but yet folk think that you are saved. The truth is, they know they are lost. They are convicted of their sin. They know they need Jesus to save them. And yet, because of pride, they refuse to be saved. God had done everything that needed to be done in order for you to be saved. God sent Jesus to pay for your sin. Jesus died on Calvary and gave his life ransom for many. He then calls to everyone to come to Christ and be saved. But the question is, what's standing in your way? What will God have to do to get your attention in order for you to be saved? But then he wants to get our attention because he wants to use us to make a difference. When you read Acts chapter 9, verse 19 through 22, God not only he got Paul's attention so Paul could know God, but God wanted to use Paul to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Paul's sight was utterly restored, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was baptized in verse 18. And as a result of God getting Paul's attention, he became the greatest missionary of all time. He was used to write most of the books of the New Testament. Many lives were changed and are still being changed as a result of Paul's life changing thing with God. And so God wants to get our attention because he wants us to make a difference in the world. But then I want to suggest to you this morning is that sometimes God strikes somebody else to get your attention. Y'all listen to me. Sometimes God will take away your loved one. God will take away your close friend in order to get your attention. And it's sad that some is not heeding the warning. They continue in their sin, continue to disregard God's word, continue to do what they want to do. They stay out of the church and disobey what they know is right. They will go on their way and all the while saying that God is blessing them. But listen to me. It's a short lesson this morning, but it's a powerful lesson. I want you to listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else, listen to this. That I think God knows that personal loss may not get our attention. Perhaps the only way that God would get our attention is that God will take us out of this world. That's a sad scenario. God is trying to get our attention. And if he can't get your attention, he'll take you out of this world. And there's nothing that you can do about it. God is trying to get our attention. God's been good to us. God spared our lives. He woke us up this morning. He didn't have to. But because of his grace and because of his mercy, he's given us one more chance. It's time to stop playing church and start being the church. Being what God wants you to be. You are here this morning because of God's grace. God has given you this opportunity right now to make it right. It's not promised that you'll see the rest of this day. It's not promised that you'll see tomorrow. The only time that you have, the only time that is promised to you, is right now. God is trying to get our attention. And if he have not got our attention yet, let me ask you a question. What is it going to take? What is it going to take for God to get your attention? Does it mean that God's going to have to take me out of this world? And when he take you out of this world, if you are not ready for him, it's too late. Now is the time. Now is the time to get it right. You're sitting in those seats right now. You know whether you have not been living right. God also knows whether you have not been living right. Because one day that's who you're going to have to answer to. You can fool folk. You can come in here thinking like you're so holy, so righteous, but you can't fool God. God knows who you are. God knows your heart. And so now you got that opportunity to make it right. Not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got that opportunity to make it right this morning. How you make it right? You've heard God's word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You got to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Baptism is a burial. Going down in the water, when you come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Lord adds you to his church. The church that he died for, the church that he paid for with his own precious blood. The church he's coming back for is not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. If you're hearing a Christian, you need to respond to this invitation. If you know a doubt in your mind that you are not ready for God to call you right now from labor to reward, you better get it right. Get it right today while we stand and sing the song of invitation. The choice is yours.
I am resolved no longer to linger. So bad and free.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us to come and worship thee. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lives that you have given us to live, and help us to live the lives that you want us to live, and to get our attention to bring souls to thee. Heavenly Father, as we depart this worship, we ask that you will keep us safe and guide us and direct us in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.